Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hey, Olivia, welcome to Retro Next podcast.
Well, I am excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. So tell us what you've been up to. You were here last year, so a lot has changed. A lot has not changed because we're just in a weird time frame.
So, I think that I'm probably a lot more haggard than I was a year ago. It's been, as I think for most of us, it has been a very long year and a half plus at this point. So it's been harder. So sometimes productivity has been harder, but I've been able to sort of meet deadlines, and that's great. And all is well. I just finished writing the third book in the Spoiler Alert universe, and All the Feels is coming out tomorrow. So I'm really excited about that.
This is really exciting. I know. It's like, it feels like forever at the same time. It feels 2020 and 2021 feel like 1 year. Like, I don't remember Thanksgiving last year. I don't remember Halloween, you know?
It's all a blur.
It's just like one long depression. That's how I composed it. It's just one long depression of like span of time, you know, but at the same time, we're accomplishing all the little things and big things. Like, you wrote a book, you wrote three books, you know, It's like, it's exciting. Like, you're still like living life and accomplishing all this stuff. And at the same time, you know, living in this blur of a time capsule.
Yes, living my life mostly in a Swedish apartment, yes.
So how's life in Sweden?
You know, I think that there are a lot of lovely things about living here. This is a hard time of year, I think, for Sweden, just because unless you are a vampire, or this is tough because there aren't a lot of hours of potential daylight at this time of year. And then it's mostly cloudy, even when the sun could theoretically be out. So I think that if you're here in the late spring, summer, early fall, it's gorgeous. I mean, just beautiful. This is perhaps, although they have wonderful Christmas markets called Julmarknad. So this is a nice time of year for that, because that gives a little bit of sense of, if you like Christmas markets, gives this sort of sense of joy, and there are decorations, and that's nice. So it's a good season in many ways. If you like a lot of sunlight, it's perhaps, if you're a mushroom.
I feel like, you know, like, to be honest, it's like, the worst months for me, I live in four seasons for about 20 years. I no longer live in four seasons. That's the biggest life change, is that I ended up moving southern. I moved to Florida, which is like surprising itself. But for the past 20 years, I love the four seasons. I love winter in December, November, December, but not February, January. Because that's when it gets really cold and there's like nothing, there's no cute lights, there's no like cute stuff. You're just in a really cold place, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if it were only November and December.
Yeah.
It would be different.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's like Christmas markets. It's kind of like cute. You're like, oh. But then there's like, then January is like, okay, there's nothing going on. And January feels like forever in a day. It's like just like such a long month in itself. Mm-hmm. So, like, so let's chat about All the Feels. So tell us all about it.
Okay. So. Yes. I love the covers, so I show it off whenever I can. Lenny Kaufman is the cover artist, and Jan Kim is the cover designer at Avon, and they just killed it. So All the Feels is a follow-up to Spoiler Alert, which, along with what we just talked about with the pandemic, now feels like it occurred like in prehistoric times. just last year. And it is also said sort of with the characters, most of them be involved with sort of a blockbuster fantasy television show a la Game of Thrones, but not Game of Thrones for legal reasons. And they're on this show, and the male main character of this book is the best friend of the male main character from Spoiler Alert. His name is Alex, and he is a delightful chaos demon. He is loud, and he is has a huge heart and is loyal, and I think hilarious and annoying as hell. And there's some concern that he's out of control. They're in the last season. There are a lot of things that are bothering him, including some of the storylines, what's happening to his character. In the final season, he gets into a bar fight in Spain for reasons we discover later. But at the time, they think it's a sign that he is spiraling. So they bring in a minder to the production to sort of watch over him and keep him out of trouble, which is something that legitimately happens. Robert Downey Jr. had at least a couple of them, including one of his minders he married. So, yep, so it happens. And the minder in this case is Lauren Clegg, who is a therapist at the ER. So she's seeing people who come in, usually in the worst day of their lives, like in acute distress, and trying to find ways to diagnose what's happening and then find them assistance, which may not always be adequate or even available at all. And it has burned her out, and she's sort of trying to figure out what she wants to do with her life from that point on, because she can't keep going like she has been. So this is sort of, she sees it as sort of a break for herself to take care of him for a few months, because it should be easy enough, right? So it's a slow burn, forced proximity, which I love. Forced proximity is my jam. And, it plays out behind the main events of Spoiler Alert. It's happening sort of behind the scenes, and then it goes, so it starts sort of all the stuff that was behind the scenes you now see happen, and then it goes past where Spoiler Alert ends. So
how do you keep track? Because you're creating a universe here. How do you keep track of all the different parts of it? Because Spoiler Alert was like a very complex book. Like it had a story within a story and had more stories within it. And then you continue the story here and have more in this world. Because you have the story and then you have, you know, the force proximity, the magic happening.
I mean, I think the hardest work I did for Spoiler Alert, because for Spoiler Alert, I started out with what the premise of the books would be, and then a basic sort of idea of what would happen in the books. Like I did actually lay out for myself what would actually happen in very broad terms in the books, then how the TV show would deviate from that in usually really annoying or abhorrent ways. and then, you know, then moved on to what would my characters, you know, how are they involved with all this? So when I began to write all the feels, I already kind of knew what was going to happen to, he plays Cupid, like an adult male Cupid, not like baby in a diaper Cupid, a very hot adult male Cupid. And so I kind of already knew what was happening with him and his character before this began. So, I mean, the good news is I got to lean on, you know, a lot of times past Olivia is kind of a bitch. Like I'm reading through my book and there'll be things like make seem sad or make funny. I'm like, damn you, past Olivia. But occasionally past Olivia is helpful. And in this case she was, because I already worked out a lot of that stuff going into all the feels. So for all the feels, a lot more of the research had to do with red carpets and Hollywood, because, you know, Spoiler Alert, a lot of it is set in San Francisco, but this is set a lot of it in LA and in Hollywood. So I had to do research about that and about productions and red carpets and all of that sort of stuff. And road trips up the California coast.
Yeah. Oh, so I bet that was like a fun trip to get out of Sweden, you know, pandemic Sweden, into La La Land sunshine, you know, California.
I don't think it was a coincidence. I was like, let me pretend I'm going up the coast of California as I hunker down in my Swedish apartment.
Yes. Yeah. I love this. So what can we expect from book three now that you have lay out the groundwork and past Olivia has done her work? You know, what can future Olivia can tell us?
So right now, at least, and because, you know, they switched the title of All the Fields Used to Be Slow Burn, which we switched. So I can't promise, but for right now, the title is Shipwrecked. So two words, like shipping. And it involves Maria and Peter, who are sort of side characters in the first two books. And the reason you don't see them on the page more is because they have been filming, their characters are shipwrecked on a desolate island off the coast of Ireland and have been there for 6 years. So essentially it has been, they're the only two actors on that island with a very small crew. And they've been filming there basically one-on-one for 6 years. And the premise is, so she's Swedish, which was fun to do. Mm-hmm. I got in all my IKEA, ABBA, and herring jokes. So Maria is Swedish, and we start actually back at the beginning before they begin filming. Mm-hmm. And she's come to LA to do final auditions for this role in Gods of the Gates. Because right before the end, when they're down to the last several people, they often do chemistry auditions where they sort of some of their people that they really want for the role, they have them act against one another to get a sense of whether they work well together and whether there's a spark there on film. And if you're going to have these people filming together for 6 years, you want to make sure that they have good chemistry. So she's going to this audition in LA, and she figures that either she's going to be going back to Sweden if she doesn't get the role, or if she gets the role, she's going to be on this island in Ireland for 6 years. So like, she's not going to be spending a lot of time in LA. And she meets a guy and she thinks he's hot, and they hit it off and they have a one night stand. But again, she doesn't think she'll ever see this dude again, ever. Because that's always how it works in romances. And so she's not like super sentimental. So she just leaves like in the middle of the night. She's like, well, we're done now. And so she leaves without any sort of contact information, without anything. She hits it and quits it. And he wakes up the next morning and he had wanted more than that. And she's left without a word and he's not thrilled. So then he shows up to his chemistry audition for Gods of the Gates, because of course he is another one of the final actors in contention for the role of Cyprian, and they see each other again and are cast together on this island, which is why my secondary title for this book is Only One Island.
Oh my God. This is like Only One Bed. Like, you're just giving me just the feel. So just Only One Island. Just like, there's only one island.
And they're going to be filming together for 6 years. So it follows sort of the rocky beginnings of their relationship. By the time we meet them in Spoiler Alert and All the Feels, they're dear friends. Mm-hmm. And you sort of see the first year, how they get there. And then it fast forwards. There's a time jump to where the filming is ending. And they have a decision to make about what's going to happen in their relationship. So I love it. It was hard to write, I'll be frank, because pandemic depression, but it turns out it's not on the page. Mm-hmm. I really love their book. I'm really happy with how it came out, and I cannot wait for readers to read it.
Oh my gosh. I'm like dying for this book. Now that I'm like, can I just sneak in and just see the manuscript?
And both the main characters are fat. Like he is too. Hot and fat.
Thank you.
my favorite, the sort of character inspiration for me, for how he looked, was, I don't know if you watched The Walking Dead, Cooper Andrews. Mm-hmm. You see pictures of him from The Walking Dead. He's like dark beard and he has hair down. And he is like breathtakingly hot. It was very inspirational to think of him.
I can imagine. I'm like, yes, I'm casting the right person.
And, you know, Maria is super confident. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to have my fat characters have different sort of relationships with their fatness. Mm-hmm. Like for some of them, it's more something that they grapple with than others. Mm-hmm. For Maria, she knows she's hot. Like she does not. Can I swear? Will that bother you?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, she doesn't give a fuck what anyone else thinks of her. She thinks she's super hot, and she is. So what she's dealing with is occasionally other people's reactions to her mm-hmm. size, but it does not hurt her on any sort of personal level or damage her self-esteem at all. So like, and that's different than April and Lauren in different ways. So mm-hmm. again, I'm trying to sort of have a panoply of responses because not all fat people feel the same way about their bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people are super confident, some people are not. And I want to show the sort of variety of that. So she's to me a lot of fun to read too.
Oh, I am excited for this. I'm excited for this because I feel like it's, like you said, there's like a whole different spectrum of perspective of like how you relate to your body, you know, mm-hmm. and even at different times of the year and different times of your life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I love to hear a confident, fat woman, you know, who doesn't give a fuck about like what other people think of you, you know, right. because that's like, that's something that's like, those are life goals, just fire.
Yes. Exactly. So it's really fun. It was fun writing their circumstances. He's a little bit more of a gruff, like he's not as much of a, I think he's a secret cinnamon roll, but he is not, he's a little cranky, like especially toward the beginning, and is not as chatty. So if there's a grumpy sunshine, he is more the grumpy in this case.
Okay.
You know, with all the feels, you know, Alex was more a sunshine character in this case, because I like writing different types of characters too.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I love this. I love this so much. So in terms of reading, have you been reading this past pandemic, this past couple of years? Like, is anything that's brought you spark joy? Any books you recommend our listeners to pick up that has to, you know, inspire you of some sort?
I have read a ton of books.
This is good.
Because I found that it was, I legitimately, like, I was very depressed over the winter. It turns out reading, as I discovered many decades ago, is a good way not to feel your feelings for a while.
Yeah.
Because why would you want to feel your feelings? So I was reading a lot. I started delving into different subgenres that I had not really ever explored before. I've always read all types of romance, from sweet to erotic, paranormal, all those things, and historical and contemporary. What I started reading was I started looking to urban fantasy that had a romantic arc to it. Mm-hmm. And then I also started looking at mystery series that had a romantic arc. The kind of hilarious part about it is I don't care about the mystery. I just want the interactions of like the romantic, the love interest with the main character. So like, you know, a lot of times if they're off the page, if they're not on a page together for a long time, like I start skimming. And I said this to one of my friends and she's like, Olivia, you realize there's actually a whole genre of books where you don't have to skip the sections because it's all about the romance. It's the romance genre.
Yeah, but I like this whole part of it.
It's fun because a lot of the mystery series, they're slow burns. Like it occurs over a number of books. And I think there is a certain, if you're in the mood for that, there's a real pleasure to that, sort of seeing something slowly evolve over the course of books. I don't really care who killed whom. it was him? Fine, okay. But I'm like, but they kissed. And I bought all these books. So like the authors are getting their money for it. They don't have to know that there were like pages of careful clue planting and exposition that I was just like, nah.
I love this. Yeah, I feel like the same way. I read a couple of mysteries, and it's like Mystery Woman's arcs, and like because they've been recommended as that. And all I care is about the slow burn. I'm like, I just want to read the next book to know what happens to them together. You know, like the mystery is like, oh, it's fine, whatever. It is what it is. But I'm like, I just want to know, like, are you going to get together? You know?
The series where I end up reading basically every page or every page is ones where they're together basically all the time on the page, because then that's how you get me to like read, like your clues and stuff. if you want to get me to, which they have plenty of audience without me, like then if you put them together all the time, then I will I'll be happy.
Yeah, I think Jennifer Ashley has a Victorian murder in East End, and they work together. They're like together. But there's like, but they don't even kiss in like a couple books. I was like, all right, if you, I was like, where's the kissing? Where's the you know, stuff happening, you know?
I was literally thinking of my favorite of hers is actually, she has this newer series, the Gladiator ones, where it's him and then there's, it's like a slow burn romantic stuff with him as well. And they even live together. And it's, you know, set in ancient Rome and, you know, he's a former gladiator and, I love them. And because they're on page together basically all the time, Jennifer Ashley managed to have me actually read all the pages.
Yeah. And then did you read Alona Andrews, either the Hidden Legacy or the Kay Daniels? I haven't read Kay Daniels. I know that's really slow burn, but the Hidden Legacy, they're together, you know.
I read those. I went on, like, I like to binge. If I find an author that I enjoy, I like binge all their books, particularly again when I'm doing my best not to feel my feelings. I will binge. And so, yes, I did all of those. And they have another one coming out, I think, next week.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
So I am looking forward to that. And just in time for the holidays. And there's a ton. And I've gotten some really amazing books that from friends that I have read. Like next week, another book that's coming out next week is Therese Bahari's And They Lived Happily Ever After. She's a dear friend of mine. It's really a lovely book. It's witty, but it's also very thoughtful. The female main character, Gaia, suffers from what is undiagnosed anxiety throughout most of the book, like pretty severe anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very thoughtful. If you're someone who has struggled with anxiety, my history with anxiety is not the same as Gaia's, but there's a lot in there that you recognize. Mm. And Therese was very thoughtful about that. I also love it because it's set in South Africa, which is where she is. And so it's a different setting than we usually see. Mm-hmm. It really is very thoughtful about issues of anxiety. There's a super, I think, it's a very sweet hero, like a very thoughtful hero, male main character in a lot of ways. And I appreciated that too. So that's another one that I'm excited for other people to read that next week.
Oh, I'm picking that one up because I have anxiety. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love reading about anxiety because it feels validating for me, even though everyone's anxiety is like so different from each other, it still feels like, oh, I can see someone else have it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's validating. And that you can fall in love, you know, like that's like the whole, the whole purpose. Like, you know, it's just like seeing myself in pages and like, oh, it's possible. I can actually have a healthy relationship because I read it in a romance, you know? So
there's a blog post I'm going to post later tonight, actually, pretty soon after we're done speaking, which talks a little bit about why fat representation in romance is so important to me. Mm. And one of the things that I said that I fully believe is that seeing someone who is like you in like a fundamental way, either fatness or anxiety or whatever, seeing someone who is like you be loved on the page makes it easier for you to love yourself. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely believe that. Mm. So I get it. And there's also some fun magic stuff, like some fun paranormal aspects to the Therese's book. So, I mean, I'm biased because she's a dear friend, but like, I think it's really, I think the readers, there are readers who really need, it's going to mean a lot to them to see that representation on the page.
Oh, I love Jess. And thank you for bringing the fad representation on page. As a fad woman who has struggled with eating disorders and all the different things, and I'm no longer in that space, it's really validating to see my, you know, my experience in different ways, like seeing that love is possible. Because for so long growing up, I bought this idea that love was not possible unless you have this idealized body, you know?
Right.
So it's like, it's not true. And so being able to see examples that it's not true, it validates that experience. And it's like, oh, I can actually go on dates, you know? Like, I don't need right. to wait till, like, you know, whatever is the ideal number that, you know, mm-hmm. is arbitrary by somebody else make a decision. I don't need to wait for that. So.
Right. Well, I mean, I think... I mean, before self-publishing, there were some mm-hmm. Romances that had, you know, some fat representation, but it was very rare. Mm-hmm. Self-publishing really, I mean, all sorts of marginalized groups used it to kick open the doors
yeah.
so that people who, again, said this a little bit in my blog post, who live like them, who look like them, who love like them, they could suddenly write themselves on the page and see themselves on the page, which is incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a relief that I don't even think it's hard to express if you've always seen yourself on the page,
mm-hmm.
like see someone who represents some aspect of your identity that's sort of a marginalized aspect mm-hmm. of your identity, to see someone like that be adored and be desired and to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Ah, so good. Thank you. And keep doing the God's work. You know. Awesome. So tell us where we can find you online.
So the one social media site that I am really active on is Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to do one site and to do it relatively well instead of doing a bunch of sites and like flailing, which those are really my only options. So Twitter, I am at Olivia Writes. So mm-hmm. OliviaWrites. My website is oliviadade.com. And then you can always email me at olivia@oliviadade.com. You know, I have a newsletter. I only put it out when my books are on sale or when it's a new release because I'm lazy.
It's okay. You're doing God's work by letting us know. When can we buy your book?
Exactly.
Something to look forward. We're like, oh my gosh, a new book, you know.
So what have you read recently that you really love?
So what I read recently, I'm reading 7 Days in June by Tia Williams.
I've heard that's amazing.
So good. I've been reading a lot about writers, and this book is just like, it didn't come from a romance. It came from Grand Central, so it's not like your typical romance book. But it is. It's Second Chance. It's about writers. It's about 2019 Brooklyn Black writers, you know, talk about race. And it's so good. I've been listening to it most of the day. And it's been a great gift, you know. At the same time, it's like such a time capsule of being in 2019 before the pandemic in a Trump era, you know. Like, that's just a really strange place to be and be back and you'd be like, okay, thank God we're no longer there, but we're like in a different space, you know?
I've heard the my friends whose opinion I really trust who love that book said it could easily had been marketed as a romance if they had wanted to. That
yeah.
it is a romance in all but
it is me. A romance in all. It's a romance. It's just like it was marketed
with spoilers with an HEA. So with the happily ever after. So
yeah. Yeah. And it's steam. There's sex. So it's not no. It's not closed door. So I think I'm like really grateful for that. And I just finished The Roughest Draft by Emily Wibberly, Austin something something. I'll put it in the show notes. It's about two writers who were writing together and something happened to them. They created this bestseller hit. And they didn't promote it. They didn't do anything. But everyone's speculating what happened to them, why they're not no longer writing together. And then they revisit. The publishers asked them, like, you need to write a book. You're under contract. You need to write one more book. And so it's revisiting what happened 4 years ago into this place. And it's just angsty. It's about the writing process. It's about how do you write your feelings and all those different things. And mm-hmm. I really love that aspect of it. Like, it was just like, you got immersed in somewhere in a writer's retreat in Florida.
You're reading a lot about writers.
I am like in a mood right now. So, and then The Wedding Ringer, which came out last week, and that's about friendship. Mm-hmm. So it's about a paid bridesmaid, a girl who paid someone to be her bridesmaid. And you're mm-hmm. asking why, you know, why do you need to pay someone to be your bridesmaid? It's about friendship right. loss and about friendship gain. Like, it's the whole friendship right. part of it. And it's like, I think for me, that one's been interesting because so much of the pandemic has been about friendships, like letting go and starting new relationships and coming mm-hmm. in. And so it's like interesting to see the breakups of friendships, like that happens. Like, we don't talk about that enough.
And it's intensely painful. Like, it's if it's someone who's important in your life, it's as bad or worse than breaking up with a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, if it, that's something that I appreciate when it shows up on page two. And it's something I'm maybe in a future book want to write a little bit more about. So it's good that it's being addressed.
It's been addressed. And like, funny enough, like, I interviewed the author and we went on a tangent because I was like, I just moved to a new place and I don't know, I need to make friends as an adult. And I was like, I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this book is just reminding me of where I am in this, my life, where I moved to a new place, I don't have a car, and I need to build a community, you know. But I just moved before that. Like, I moved twice and out of state in the past 2 years. So
hard.
It's hard, you know. But
I know
it's hard, and it's like, and struggling with depression, struggling with anxiety, struggling with all these different things is like, how do you begin your life, you know? Mm-hmm. So. But The Wedding Ringer, it's great. It's about friendship. So that's a good one.
Well, and I'll be thinking of you. I know it's hard to, I mean, we moved here about 3 years ago. So most of our time in Sweden has been spent during a pandemic.
Yeah.
It is hard to move to a new place. This is especially a hard time to move to a new place. So I will be wishing you all the good things for, you know, the next, until we talk next for
next year,
we'll friendship talk next- and for feeling at home and feeling like you found your place.
Yeah, I think so. The pluses of why I move, Florida, I should say, like, I don't agree with a lot of things, but I've been able to see my family, which I haven't been able to see them in like 2 years. And I was like, it's nice I was able to see them and it's closer. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely an interesting place to be, where it's like, this is like an interesting change. Like, it happened, the pluses are better than the cons, but I still have to mourn the fact that one move did not go as planned, you know? Like, I was so excited for the first move and I was like excited for the change and all these different things. And then it did not go as planned. We were just like stuck in isolation, you know?
Right.
So, but you know, we'll see. I'm still in isolation, so it did not change.
Yeah.
So, but the pluses are better than, you know, the cons. Thank you so much for being in the show.
It's been delightful, and I'm so glad to chat with you again.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.